Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with your hosts from 970 ESPN and Steelers Nation Radio, David Todd, and from SteelersDepot.com, Dave Bryan. Just a couple of Daves chilling, talking Steelers. Now, here's Dave and Dave.
Welcome to the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave. He's Dave Bryan of SteelersDepot.com, the place to get your latest and greatest Steelers information. And I'm David Todd of ESPN Pittsburgh and the Steelers Radio Network. It's Season 6, Episode 90, and we're bringing you an unscheduled special edition of the Terrible Podcast featuring Eagles Depot and the Autumn Wind. As Dave, free agency went off with a bang, and those new tampering guidelines, well, basically everybody flipped them the bird, and things got underway in a big way yesterday afternoon on the free agency front for the Steelers. They went and took care of one of the important ones that we anticipated, and one that certainly on my side I didn't think was going to happen, with Ramon Foster being that close, really about 12 hours away from free agency. So both William Gay and Ramon Foster back in the fold.
The autumn wind is a pirate blustering in from sea. With a rollicking song, he sweeps along, swaggering boisterously. Oh, this is the wrong. This isn't the Raiders Depot podcast.
Not yet. It's going to be a little bit of. His face is weather beaten. He wears a hooded sash with a silver hat about his head and a bristling black mustache.
You know, I think if the recording of that was of us doing that actually happened in the state of Pennsylvania, we could probably be thrown in a jail for. For that.
It is a political year that might get somebody some votes.
I hear you. Boy, the Raiders sure are going to flash some money around later on today, but we'll get to that in a little bit. What can you say about Kevin Colbert and Omar Khan and you know what the Steelers front office has been able to do so far? A lot of it we thought would be able to get done. They've gotten more than what we thought done, and it's not even Wednesday at 4 o'clock. Darius Heyward-Bey re-signed was re-signed to a 3-year deal. Robert Golden was signed to a 3-year, I believe, $5 million contract. I don't have the breakdown on that, but I can tell you this about Darius Heyward-Bey and his $3.8 million over 3 years. Only a $400,000 signing bonus, David. So that's a year-to-year contract, to be quite honest.
Let's get to this because – you know, at the start of free agency, and at the start of the Steelers' end of their season, really, so their new year, so early January, you know, when we were talking about what William Gay would make, I was kind of on the, you know I said this, and we can go back and listen to the tapes. I said 2 years, $4 million would be the number for William Gay. Kind of that'd be good for both sides, $8 million, the whole thing. And you look at this with, you know, all of our numbers probably slightly low because the cap came in a bit higher, and we're seeing teams with an extraordinary amount of money to pay for guys on the high end, which isn't William Gay, I understood. But still, all things considered, this is an extraordinarily good deal for the Steelers.
Yeah, and I didn't even get those totals out there. 3 years, $7.5 million for William Gay. They flashed that graphic up last night on the NFL Network, and I didn't see it, David, but one of my followers did.
Somebody told me to, and I didn't believe him. How good the deal was. I didn't believe it.
That's how good our listeners and my followers are on Steelers Depot. They got me a screen grab. I wasn't even going to write it up because we had kind of heard that as well too, several hours earlier. And there's no way I was going to believe. I wasn't going to run with a post on 3 years at $7.5 million until I kind of had more proof. Well, one of my followers, Sean Howell 21 on Twitter, took a screen grab of that. So I kind of wrote up a preliminary post, you know, cautiously warning everybody that, you know, wasn't sure about the numbers, that it could most definitely be a mistake. But it turns out, you know, that's the number, 7.5 over 3 years. That's an average of 2.5 per season. If you remember back just to this past week, Bryce McCain signed a 2-year, $2.5 million contract with the Tennessee Titans. So, you know, I had written months, you know, several weeks ago that I had Gay right around the 4 million, mark, maybe a little bit higher than now. I'll have to look back at the post on that. But he surely came in way under market value. And when you look at he did get a – I kind of figured maybe he would have got a $1 million signing bonus the way the $7.5 million was sort of framed. Well, he got a $1.9 million signing bonus and a first-year base salary of $1.85 million. So that gave William Gay $3.75 million in year one of the contract.
Which, you know, that's not far off the mark, and that's totally reasonable. I mean, you know, we missed that by $250,000. Okay, so that's all probably, you know, look, it's a guarantee he's going to get that money. So done deal. And then it makes it easy for the Steelers going forward. He's going to be, what, Dave, 34?
Gay's going to be younger than that, isn't he?
In the second year, isn't he going to be 33 this year? Maybe I'm off by a year or two.
Let's see here. He is 30. He just turned 31, David.
Yeah, so 30. He'll be 33 in the second year of the deal, and that makes it easy for the Steelers from there.
Well, I mean, he'll be, you know, second year of the deal, he'll be 32. His final year, he'll be 33.
He's 31, right?
Right, and he just turned 31.
Okay, fair enough. So, okay, so second year, he'll be 32. Yeah, and look, I mean, the deal is that the Steelers are cutting William Gay. That probably means they had a bonanza in the draft, and Golson, you know, did his job, and Doran Grant did his job in terms of development, and Cockrell did his job. So if they're cutting William Gay in the second year, it's probably not because his performance slipped that much. It's because all of a sudden they get a lot of good players back there. So you can probably bet on William Gay being around for 2 years.
At least two. And look, if you have to cut him after the 2017 season, it would only result in a $633,334 dead money charge. So, you know, let's call this right now a two-year, let's see, what do we say?
Two-year about 3.75 plus whatever he makes second year.
Second, $2 million in the second year.
So 5.75 for a 2 year deal. That's pretty good. About just under six for a 2 year deal.
Right. So, that's probably, and look, he didn't want to have to chase, there were only going to be a few teams out there interested, even as good as he is to the Steelers.
He's a nickel corner for everybody else.
Right. So, you know, he would have had a hard time and probably waiting a while to sign a deal. So good on the Steelers for getting that done. Good on them for getting William, or Darius Heyward-Bey done. Haven't seen the total numbers on Robert Golden either, but, you know, 3 years, $5 million, it's not going to kill the Steelers cap-wise, especially in 2016.
Yeah, let's talk about those two because we didn't talk about those on Monday, right?
Right.
So let's talk about, okay, so Heyward-Bey. I guess for both of us, Dave, I thought we thought they'd go year to year and it'd be a million at top. So good for him. Now, again, it's still year to year. I mean, that's effectively what it is, but they've locked him up so he can't go anywhere else. And he gets a little bit more money. And, you know, for people who are questioning it and Sammy Coates, there's no relationship to Sammy Coates here. What this is you get a core special teams player, one. You get a guy who is, you know, your fourth or fifth receiver on the depth chart today, and Sammy Coates isn't going to be given that fourth receiver job. He's still going to have to work for playing time. So the Steelers have four guys. It's insurance in case Martavis Bryant goes off the rails, which, you know, nobody expects to happen, but let's not, you know, forget that that's out there. And Marcus Wheaton's gone after this year, 90% chance, I would think. So, you know, you got Heyward-Bey around as they, again, look to bring guys in and supplement the receiving core. So this is a really good deal for the Steelers. I think it's nice for Heyward-Bey to have the three-year option. He's obviously loved in the clubhouse, as is Golson, as is Foster, as is Gay. All four of these guys are about as popular as you get in the locker room. You know, for Heyward-Bey, Dave, just a tad more money than we expected. And, you know, the term was a little different, but probably suits everybody.
I would agree, and once again, you know, as I mentioned, you know, $400,000 signing bonus makes, you know, if you need to part ways, it can be done very easily. Even after year one, you do get a guy that is a good mentor in the Steelers locker room as well too. Here's the thing, and immediately after this happened, everybody wants to jump to the conclusion and say, oh, this can't be good for Sammy Coates. Oh, this probably means the Steelers are going to trade Marcus Wheaton. Oh, this probably means Martavis Bryant failed another drug test. Sometimes it's like a written version of Hee-Haw on Twitter. You know, gloom, despair, and agony on me. You know, but look, I mean, it's a year by year insurance policy is what it is. Right now, you know, look, Sammy. What do we know about Sammy Coates right now? He barely played last season. He played in the playoff game. He made a couple of big catches. Kevin Colbert said at the scouting combine in Indianapolis that went through a struggle learning more of the route tree, and that's going to continue into training camp this year and into the first part of the 2016 season as well. At some point, do we expect Sammy Coates to play a larger role in the offense in 2016? I would think so. Could he eventually overtake a guy like Marcus Wheaton this year? He could probably eat into that playing time as well. But look, the way injuries are around this league, and let's not forget more than anything else, and we haven't even hit on this in the whole time, I don't think, talking about Darius Heyward-Bey. He's a solid special teams – I shouldn't say solid. He is an above-average special teams player as well. He still has speed. He can stretch the field as far as a wide receiver goes, a guy that can give you 20 to 30 receptions in a year. He filled in admirably for Martavis Bryant at the start of the 2015 season. This is a depth signing, and now the Steelers have all five wide receivers that ended the 2015 season on their 53-man roster – back under contract for 2016, and oh yeah, they have a little kid in Eli Rogers that, you know, hopefully shows some good things during training camp and spends this season maybe on the practice squad.
Yeah, exactly. Excuse me. All right, so let's get to Robert Golden, and you know, again, the numbers here, very small raise for Golden from, you know, as you say, you don't know the exact breakdown, but average annual value if it were to play out, and you know, certainly could play out from about what was he making, Dave? $1.6 million on the restricted tender or something like that. And he goes to, you know, $1.7 million, or he's making $1.5 million something, and he goes to $1.7 million. Good locker room guy, core special teams player. He will compete for the starting safety job depending on, you know, what the Steelers do in free agency. Certainly, they're not going to hand it to a draft choice, even if it's a number one pick. He may win the job. But Golden is a guy who right now he is your starting safety next to Mike Mitchell. And if he gets beaten out for that job, well, then he gives you depth. We've seen the Steelers go not just nickel, they go dime. So Golden becomes, you know, a guy who's more likely to see the field much more often next year because they didn't do that, taking Timmons off the field until about the last five or six games. So if they did it last year toward the end of the season, you'd expect them to kind of go that way this coming year. You know, these signings are extraordinarily cheap, the three that we have the numbers on, and, you know, I think value for the team.
Yeah, why, you know, if you look at his yearly average for Golden 3 years, $5 million breaks down to what, almost 1.67. Don't have the signing bonus details yet on that, but, you know, one would think it's going to be what, under $3 million easily. Probably
maybe $1.5 million tops, right?
Yeah, $1.5 million on that. So, you know, his cap, he's not going to move the salary cap needle much at all this year when you talk about displacement in the top 51 salaries here. You know what you have in Robert Golden. Even though he hasn't played extremely much over the years on defense, you know what you get as far as a special teamer goes. And we saw glimpses of him being starter capable at times last year. So, look, do we need to take out our ink pens right now and write him down as a starter alongside Mike Mitchell? Probably not, but, I mean, he's definitely the leader probably in the clubhouse right now.
If they had to play tomorrow, he's lining up the starter.
Right, and you know, Jerry Dulac reported a couple of days ago the team's not expected to re-sign Will Allen, and we kind of, I think, talked about that the other day. Look, Will Allen's only a full phone call away, God forbid, should you need him. We know Shamarco's been pretty much a special teamer so far. Hopefully he's able to take that step forward, you know, during training camp. I wouldn't hold my breath, but, you know, there is some hope there. And, of course, Ross Ventrone is no lock to make this roster either. And neither is Jordan Dangerfield, who really more both those guys more known for their special teams play more than anything else. So it's just it what it does is it just fortifies a little bit of depth there with Robert Golden, and it opens up possibilities still. We'll see what the Steelers attack during free agency. Don't expect them to go after any big names, but if they were to go after one or two positions at all, with even lower level type of free agents, safety and tight end would be the positions right now at this point. And of course, it still opens up the positions for you to draft a safety anywhere that you want in the draft. And the same goes with the William Gay signing. The same goes, well, I think it's safe to say this team isn't going to, I think it'd be shocking if the team drafts a wide receiver now. You know, cornerback, just because you re-signed Gay for 3 years doesn't mean you have to take a cornerback off, you know, mark it off of a specific round, per se. And the same goes with safety there, too. So far, so good. Oh, yeah, we haven't even gotten to the ink drying this morning with Ramon Foster, who signed a 3-year deal with the Steelers that should keep him in Pittsburgh for the rest of his career.
I agree. And this is the thing about Ramon Foster. Now you can scratch offensive line in the first 3 rounds. That's not happening. I mean, the only question mark on that line now is Ali Villanueva, and yet, you know, you might like, you look, here's your depth. You have Cody Wallace, you got one guy, you got Chris Hubbard, you got two guys, you got B.J. Finney, you've got some other guys floating around. So in the fourth, seventh, you know, could the Steelers take an offensive lineman? Yeah, but you're not going there the first 3 rounds. I think we really narrowed it down, you know, to the 4 positions we've talked about. This, I didn't think this would happen. I'm happy it did happen, but I really thought Ramon, when he got this close to sniffing it, and then particularly seeing the two contracts that were announced yesterday, the Osemele contract, which is unbelievable, and David DeCastro has got to be smiling like a butcher's dog for that one, and then the Richie Incognito contract, which came in, you know, significantly north of, well, we don't know Ramon's number, sorry. But it's a you know, big number there for Incognito. So I just thought Ramon and look, maybe the answer is obviously since all these guys are getting deals done, Ramon did field offers and did kind of get a sense of it and said, you know, this is as good or close to as good as I'm going to get. I want to go with the devil I know. And so he stuck around, and that's obviously really good for the Steelers, and it just really helps them, you know, in the draft and in other ways.
The thing was, I thought there was a solid chance of Ramon hitting free agency. I really did.
Yeah, I thought it was. However, I would put it at 95%.
However, I thought even if he did, maybe there was a chance that once he got out there that maybe he could re-sign. But I thought he would at least make it to Wednesday evening. I think what maybe kind of sped things along, David, is as you said, Richie Incognito re-signed with the Bills. 3 years, I think it was 15.75, which that puts an average yearly value at $5.25 million. I wrote, I think it was back in February, I had Ramon's market value at $5 million a season. We'll see how close. He's going to be right around that number. Is it 4.5? Is it 4.75 a season? I would be surprised if it's lower than that, but of course, you know, we thought William Gay would got a little bit more as well too.
You know, and there's a quote from Ramon that said, "It begins and ends with Ben Roethlisberger. Huge part of the decision to stay with the team and not chase the check," and that's exactly what you would expect from Ramon Foster. And so, if the payday, look, I don't profess to stand in any of these guys' shoes, and Dave and I have said a million times, if they want to take every penny available to them, that is absolutely their right, and I wouldn't begrudge it for a second. But I do think it's often interesting to see which guys say, you know, well, $12 million versus $14 million, I'm happy here. That $2 million, I'm going to skip it. And oftentimes that plays out really well. I mean, you look at Mike Wallace, and how can you crucify Mike Wallace for – you know, he got $55 million, you know, in the contract and a huge bonus up front from the Dolphins. It didn't play out perfectly, but he set himself up for life. He's done, and he may be done as a football player, get a job somewhere. But I don't begrudge him. But for Ramon, you know, it's this is, he knows he's locked in at that position for, you know, minimum 2 years, maybe 3 years.
Yeah, and as far as your remark goes, David, or your comment, David, about you can wipe offensive line off the board completely for the Steelers in the first three rounds, I'm not willing to go there.
Yeah?
I'm not willing to go there just
would
yet.
Would you say first 2 rounds?
No, I think you still have options on the board here, and let me tell you why. Because, hey, let's see what happens with Kelvin Beachum, and even if it doesn't. And Alejandro Villanueva, let's say Beachum leaves, but you know, last report is by Jerry Dulac that Steelers hope that they can re-sign Beachum to a one-year deal. I'll believe that when I see it.
But, let's make ourselves look silly again. Give me the odds. I'll put it at 15%
for Beachum re-signing a one-year deal
with the Steelers. Yeah,
I'll go right down the middle at 50-50, David. Because
you think it's that high?
Yeah. Well, look, they haven't even announced any restructures yet, so. And none of these re-signings the last few days are going to, you know, eat them.
They're not hurting the cap, no.
They're not going to kill them cap-wise. So even if they had to beat, you know, because let's face it, if they move some money, you know, if they get Timmons extended and drop that down by, you know, $4 or $5 million with a two-year extension, and we know later in the offseason DeCastro is going to get done. You know, they got Ben and Cameron Hayward they can go to for restructures if they, you know, if need be. You know, one, and who knows what's going to happen as far as how many restructures. But in other words, I guess what I'm saying is you could carry a cap number of Beachum around $6-7 million probably if you really, really needed to. So I'll put it right at 50-50 with am I surprised that it's gotten that far? Yeah. But I mean, Beachum was on Sirius Satellite Radio a few days ago and said that, you know, talks have been ongoing. So we'll see. But back to my thoughts on the draft. Let's say they do lose Beachum to free agency. You still have Alejandro Villanueva as your starter. You still have Marcus Gilbert starting on the other side there. In no way, shape, and form right now do I think this team can rely on Mike Adams being a swing guy. You hope he can be your swing guy next year, but I don't think you should have warm, fuzzy feelings about that right now, especially as we sit here in March. Okay, who's behind Ramon Foster and David DeCastro right now?
Chris Hubbard, I guess, and B.J. Finney.
And of course, you know,
and Cody Wallace, depending on what you think of him playing guard, right?
Yeah, but let's be honest with each other. How much confidence would you have if either of those three guys had to start 3, 4, or 5 games?
Well, I think, you know, we could say that about anybody, you know, any depth the Steelers have had on the offensive line over the years. I mean, you know, I'm drawing the blank on the kid who came back for his 25th season last year, who was on, just played special teams, extra point snaps.
Legersky.
Yeah, you know, if Legersky had to start a game last year, it would have been a disaster. I mean, you know, that's why it's depth, and that's why the cap, that's why these signings are so good. I mean, I agree with your point. Look, I'm not ruling offensive linemen out for the draft. I just think, with the needs they have, if they can attack their needs on the defensive side of the ball now, or tight end, in those first three rounds, and then get a lineman that they think can, you know, develop over time, and you know they obviously think something of Chris Hubbard, then they're fine. But yeah, you know, look, if they sign Beachum, then all of a sudden he's competing for the starting left tackle spot. You got your swing tackle, whoever loses the job. You got Wallace in the interior. Those are your seven dressed guys. And then, you know, you draft a guy in the seventh round or you get a couple undrafted free agents and it's not even an issue. If they get Beachum done, God bless them. It will be the all-time offseason of getting your own guys done.
And at that point, yeah, and look, you're re-signing him to start on a one-year deal. No two ways about it. Then Alejandro Villanueva becomes a very experienced swing tackle, in my opinion, at that point, being as how he started all those games at left tackle last season. My main concern, and I you know, kind of think I made that clear in my last comment there, is interior backup. So in other words, let's say Beecham does come back, then you have your three tackles. We expect Pouncey back, okay? We obviously would have DeCastro and Foster. So I think that gives us
just a note here. Cortez Allen has not tweeted in 22 days, and he just tweeted, acquire inner peace and outer peace will be its natural consequence. So I don't know, you know, he hasn't, he retweeted Marcus Wheaton 22 days ago. He retweeted somebody else 30 days ago. He had his last tweet 30 days ago. I don't know if that means anything, but just a heads up.
Yeah, and like we said, if he's going to be made a post-June 1st cap cut, then he has to be cut after 4 o'clock, you know, after the start of the new year. Now they could cut him.
Yeah, right. No, you know, they let him know this morning, and at 4:01, it's announced.
Yeah, we'll have to watch that throughout the day there. Back to count the numbers there. You know, I guess what I'm saying is even though you have Cody Wallace as a backup center, I think this team could be tempted to draft a future starter early at guard. So in other words, if you're looking at Josh Garnett, maybe out of Stanford, who I really think is a first round product, if he's your best player on the board in the first round, you know, I could see the Steelers going that way. Now here's the thing. Like always,
would you like that pick?
Ask me in another few weeks when we see how free agency plays out, you know, as they fill holes. You know, Kevin Colbert just likes to get himself in a place where he's not, you know, they draft towards need and future need, obviously. But I still think he subscribes to the best player available.
I don't disagree, but, I mean, that would seem to be such a luxury, you know, if, you know, this is all hypothetical, right? But if the four cornerbacks behind the first two are all on the board, whether it be, you know, Jackson, whether it be Fuller, whether it be Apple, whether it be Alexander, and he were to draft a guard, they'd like him a lot. Is what it did. And it would also mean you're almost automatically cutting Ramon Foster after year one, right?
Potentially, yeah. But, I mean, until we see that deal, we don't know that the bonus money that they – you can never have too many great experienced offensive linemen.
Well, I wouldn't say experienced, so.
I mean, I'm talking about Foster, even if he had to serve as a backup, you know.
Yeah.
We'll know more when we know his number. But I guess what I'm trying to say is I'm not ready to slam my fist down on the table and say, that's it, Steelers aren't drafting a offensive lineman in the first three rounds.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Okay. So the Steelers have taken care of their own here, and it's a good situation. We'll obviously, you know, the special edition of the Terrible Podcast here.
One guy real quick that we haven't talked about that hasn't gotten done is Steve McClendon,
yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And he was both our kind of second priority guy.
Yeah.
On the list.
And we'll see. I mean, there's still time. One would think that McClendon, you know, not much more than $3 million a season value. If that right now.
Let me ask you, what if the Steelers are looking around and there are a lot of, what's his nickname? Knighton, the kid who used to be at Denver. What's his nickname? A Big Stew or, you know, hot pocket. It's not a hot pocket.
Oh, Terrence Knighton?
Yeah, Terrence Knighton. What's his nickname?
He's got
a food nickname, like, you know, Big Tub of Stew.
Oh, what is his nickname? Chuck Potroast, right?
Yeah. you know, what if I told you, you know, the Steelers think Haloti Ngata can still play and he can play some end and they want to sign Haloti Ngata? I mean, I'm just throwing out names, but there are four or five guys who maybe the Steelers look and say, okay, you know, we like McClendon. He wants to test free agency. We're going to look at some of these other guys. There are guys out there who fit what the Steelers want to do, who probably won't be in high demand.
But are you willing to make the change to save, let's say, $1.25 million?
Maybe McClendon's, you know, maybe it's on McClendon's side. I would assume the Steelers, you know, particularly seeing what they've done, I would assume they're trying to get it done. So maybe McClendon wants to see what's out there. Maybe somebody's interested in him.
Well, according to Jeremy Fowler, during the week of the NFL Combine, they met with McClendon's reps, but they probably met with reps of every every free agent that of their own at the Combine. So that's, you know, you can't read anything into that. Here's the thing. Keep in mind, when it comes to outside free agents and the Steelers, I'm talking about true free agents that sign deals more than the minimum. They're not going to sign anybody over the age of 28 unless they play quarterback, and they're not going to sign. You know, one would think if the guy slips through the first week or two of free agency, it's not going to be big money on top of that anyway. So, you know, you're talking about a guy like Kaloti Nada. Really, do you want that kind of – wasn't he suspended for, what was it, HGH or – well, not HGH.
He was suspended for something. But, I mean, we've seen this before, right?
Last season or what, Adderall, whatever it was. But he's just not a guy.
I'm not being specific to Nada. My point is, there are nose tackles out there that, you know, the Steelers could, you know, plug in if they lose McClendon. Then they'll probably have to.
Oh, yeah. I mean, look, I don't think they have any faith whatsoever based on the snaps that he received last year in Daniel McCullers. I don't think Daniel McCullers, right? We'll see what happens in the draft, but I don't think Daniel McCullers can be penciled in or inked in as a starter.
I don't think you can ink him in on the roster.
Well, that's what I mean, 53-man roster next year. Yeah. I mean, he's definitely not a lock right now. So, yeah, if you did lose McClendon, and keep in mind, the Green Bay Packers had interest in McClendon the last go-around. Even when McClendon was a restricted free agent, the Steelers tendered McClendon, and then he took that trip out to Green Bay, and magically the deal got put together right then. But my thought on the matter is, you know what you have in McClendon. It's not like you're talking about a player worth, you know, $5-7 million a season either. I mean, you're talking about a player probably $3 million average yearly value. You know, you could easily make that cap number be small in 2016 and have another guy on a 3-year contract that you could cut after the first season, if God forbid you needed to, but definitely after two. I still, here we are in the final hours. I'll still say they get something done with McClendon, David. But as every hour ticks away, you know, it gets less likely. But I mean, who knows? Maybe they have them lined up at. Maybe they're taking numbers right now at Omar Khan's door.
Okay, so let's take a look at some of the things that have happened around the league. First of all, the new tampering rules pretty much were meaningless.
Yeah, I think free agency started yesterday.
Yeah, no doubt. I mean, it's obviously started, yeah. You know, well, anybody – I just don't understand how anybody thinks that, you know, grown men looking at living – making a living with big money, teams trying to make decisions where you need to have commitments from guys, because if you have to move on from somebody, you don't want to know at 4 o'clock today because a guy pulls your team's name or doesn't out of a hat. You got to have answers to that kind of stuff so you can move on to the next guy. So I don't – there's not even faux outrage here. I mean, I think this is just the way business gets done. I don't have any problem with it. Dave, do you have any problem with it?
Look, you're not going to – you put a time limit on it, people are going to find a way to circumvent it anyway. You know, look, they can't submit new deals until after the start of the new league year. I mean, they're going to do what they want to do anyway, so why not after the Super Bowl just, you know, it'd be a free-for-all and guys who are set to become free agents just go out there and start making the trips or whatnot, you know?
Yes, exactly. So, all right, so let's...
And you know, it's almost like, but here's the thing, though. Until a player, here's the thing. A player should not be allowed to actually sign that contract until after the start of the new league year. In other words, contracts should not be allowed to be post-dated. In other words, it's almost like the college commitment things, you know. I commit to go to this school. Well, how many times have we seen in the final hours a college player, decommit, right, for last minute? So you could still have teams out there, even though a guy, let's see, say one day after the Super Bowl, scheduled to be a free agent, goes out there and talks to the Raiders and agrees in principle to a multi-million-dollar deal. You know, he can still change his mind up until the start of free agency. You know, so teams would actually be stupid to think that they have a player potentially maybe locked up that early on in the offseason. But as far as saying putting together this quote-unquote kind of tampering time, I don't think that's necessary.
Okay.
I mean, it's going to continue happening what's happening now anyway.
All right, so the Steelers done A-plus so far of, from where they are in terms of getting two core special teams guys, two starters back and one left, and we'll see what goes with that. And then there's, guys on the fringes like Antoine Blake and others that, we'll get to. Couple things. One is the money looks extraordinary here for some of these teams, and they have to spend it. So they're going to, cause salaries to get inflated in that respect. But here's one for you, Dave, that I think is going to be a bit jaw-dropping for some people. Marvin Jones is a good receiver. He was a fifth-round pick, if I remember right, out of Cal, because I think Sanu went in that same draft in the third round for the Bengals. Last year, Jones put up 65 – this is courtesy of Ray Fittipaldo, just put it up on Twitter – 65 catches, 816 in terms of yards, and four touchdowns. So you can look at the average per catch. It looks like that's about 12. 65 catches. Marcus Wheaton had 44 catches. He only had about 60, 70 yards fewer. He had 749 yards. So, bigger by probably 3 yards, yards per catch. And he had five TDs versus four. Marvin Jones is inking a contract that looks like, and again, we don't have the exact terms, but roughly $8 million a year average annual value with the Lions. I mean, wow.
Yeah, it makes you kind of think now, let's say Marcus Wheaton's able to put together a 50 or more catch season.
He replicates Jones' numbers.
Yeah, I mean.
What's he getting? He's not getting $8
million. Don't say.
Don't never say never.
Hey, what? There's very few things that I put the Blutarski number on, David. That 0.0000. These guys getting, look at the money Mike Wallace got. I mean, Jesus. I mean, he had some decent numbers, some long ball numbers and all like that. But I mean, that was just still, it was outrageous for a couple years ago, I thought, when he got that number. And it's a supply and a demand business for sure. And this year, the market in unrestricted free agent wide receivers is absolutely horrible. And Marvin Jones is evidently if you're being chased by the bear, it's always, two of you being chased by the bear, it's always better to be the guy that can run the fastest, right? and that's kind of the instance. He's not pretty talking about Marvin Jones, but I mean, he's the best of what's out there. And in a market where teams have to spend money basically every year, those guys are going to get paid. I guess where I was going with that is, Wheaton next offseason, you would have to think that he's gone. Because you just simply can't keep them all. And when he does go, what's he going to get? $7, $8, $9 million a season? And Steelers going to get maybe a third or a fourth round, or have that at least work into the compensatory formula as a potential third or fourth round draft pick. So here's the other thing that people have been hammering me about. Oh, well, the Steelers should trade Marcus Wheaton right now. Why?
I mean, first of all, nobody's giving you anything for him when they can draft a guy and keep him for 4 years in the third or fourth round. It's not happening.
If you could get a third round pick.
Sure, you do it in a second. Well, right, you might do it. Let's put it that way. You probably do it.
Right. But, I mean, no team in their right mind is going to give you that high of a draft pick for a player with 1 year remaining on his contract as well. And Wheaton would be foolish to sign a cheap signing whatever trade deal anyway right now. That just doesn't normally happen in the NFL. At best, you'd be able to get maybe at best a six-round draft pick. And people will say, well, does that make the Steelers – in fact, I had one commenter on the site this past week say, well, then that must mean the Steelers are pretty stupid, because last year they traded for two players in the final year of their contracts, talking about Brandon Boykin and Josh Scobie. Yeah, they did. But, I mean, that was almost by necessity. They needed a kicker. They wanted an experienced kicker. They thought they had their guy in Josh Scobie. And Brandon Boykin, the injury to Cinquez Golden, they thought they needed depth at the position. They probably also figured that when Boykin leaves, that eventually that pick would come back around to them in the form of compensatory pick. So I think you're dealing with apples and oranges there. I would be absolutely shocked if the Steelers traded Marcus Wheaton and got if they got anything of value for it. I can't see the reasoning behind that. You keep as many good players as you possibly can because we all know how injuries work in this league.
Okay.
Hold on, man. I gotta get off the soapbox.
Okay. So let's talk about what happened yesterday. Let's just we've thrown out the Marvin Jones. That's the kind of outlier high-end deal today so far at 10 o'clock in the morning. The two big deals yesterday were Kelechi Assembly, obviously, and the Raiders, and then they added Bruce Irvin. And then the other one was Malik Jackson to Jacksonville, where, you know, we were talking about will he get $10 million a year, and it looks like, which I don't think was an insane conversation when we had it, and the Jags have money to burn. It looks like he's going to make an average annual value of $15 million a year, which, you know, now we're not quite in J.J. Watt territory, but we're sniffing it. And so those are the two that hit the market yesterday that are extraordinary. For the Raiders, I was on my Raiders, you know, the autumn win thing last night. And now they've added Assembly on a good young offensive line. They've added an edge rusher to go with Khalil Mack, whatever you think of Bruce Irvin. And if you don't love him, I understand that. But they've got a couple other decent players on defense. If they add, you know, they've got a corner that's in place that, you know, they maybe need another linebacker. But if they add another player or two on the defensive side of the ball that's impactful, because they've had two great drafts. I mean, when you hit with Khalil Mack, when you hit with Amari Cooper, when you get your quarterback in the second round, when you get running back in a decent NFL running back in the sixth round in 2013, they've had a couple other guys that they've drafted well in the offensive and defensive lines. They have a ton of money. Man, Dave, the autumn wind is a Raider.
Malik Jackson got $31.5 million fully guaranteed over first 2 years of a 6-year $85.5 million deal from the Jaguars. Another $10.5 million guaranteed for injury only.
So that's $14 million average annual value if you want to look at it that way. And, you know, that you get 30, you know, 36 that first 2 years. You know, you can do the math. It's 18. That's a great deal for him. Hopefully, when he doesn't have Von Miller and who's the other guy? Coming off the edge for the Broncos.
DeMarcus
Ware coming off the edge. He can still perform, but, hey, the Jags need help on defense. They got money to spend. They got a good player.
Let's see. $31.5 million fully guaranteed over the first 2 years. Weeks ago when we were talking about him, I figured he'd get more than Cameron Hayward got average yearly value. You know, for sure. Every year with that number going up, that's the starting price there. So a little higher than maybe what I thought, but I mean not outlandish in my view. And the other thing I want to hit on real quick here was with Kelechi Osemele and his potential new deal with the Raiders. Let's wait and see if they sign him to play tackle or if they sign him to play guard. Obviously, if they sign him to play guard, that could impact the guard market, i.e. David DeCastro's new long-term deal later on in the offseason. However, if he's one would think that kind of money that he's being paid, that he may, you know, if Donald Penn leaves during free agency here in the next few days, you know, he could very well slide in there at left tackle, and if he does, then you'd have to view his position as tackle, and then everybody else's salaries would kind of be compared you know, guard-wise, not to that. So right now, I think David DeCastro, regardless of what's happening, is looking at an average yearly value on a new contract of over $8 million and maybe right around $9 million. Even if Osamalay is signed as a guard, there's no way David DeCastro can probably expect, what, $12 million a season. Now, he might ask for it. Maybe he gets 11 or something like that. It would make negotiations quite interesting for sure. But let's wait until we see what position Osamalay actually plays with the Raiders, and let's see what the actual numbers say once he signs that deal.
I think David DeCastro's contract went up. Let's put it that way. His asking price went up probably when he sees that. Maybe they haven't even talked about prices, but that didn't help. That one didn't help the Steelers any in terms of deals. But again, you know, you never know that everybody's going to ask for the last dollar. And maybe DeCastro sees Pouncey resign. He sees Ramon give up a few dollars. Maybe he says, you know, I get 10.5 a year for 5 years, or maybe for 6 years. You know, you probably would pay DeCastro 6 years. He's young. He's been healthy. You know, if they gave him a 6-year deal, I wouldn't blanch and say, "Wow, that they, you know, that's way too long. Maybe that's not ideal." But you know, if you've given Gilbert and Pouncey 5, so okay. So, did you like those two signings? I mean, obviously, it's really hard to look at the money and say, you know, it's a bargain. But in terms of fits for the team, Malik Jackson and Kaliji Assembly, do you like the fits?
Yeah. Yeah, I like Jackson fit, and I really Osamalay, I think, is a better guard than he would be a tackle when you're talking about his fit with the Raiders, but I think he can play both. I like him. I mean, look, and you got to spend the money, right?
Yep. Okay, so the Eagles looking to undo a lot of what Chip did, but now there's rumors, there are the reports that maybe the Dolphins are going to call off this trade, and boy, this really might be buyer's remorse. Who knows? Byron Maxwell and Kiko Alonso for draft picks. There might be health concerns with Byron Maxwell. We'll see what happens there. What was the other trade they made, Dave?
Who did they trade? The running back.
DeMarco Murray goes to Tennessee to go down to see all the Steeler boys down there, get coached up by the Steeler guys.
Well, you got to hear. I mean, what's Howie Roseman? Is that his name?
Howie Roseman,
Director of football operations with Eagles.
Cleared some money. Cleared some money, huh?
Hey, he's the cleaner, right? Do you remember Pulp Fiction? You ever see that?
Yeah, sure.
The cleaner. You know, he's the guy coming to clean up the mess, and looks like he's well on the way of doing that. You know, able to get some of those bad seeds and maybe not great deals out the door with you know, there's going to be some cap dead cap money involved in it, you know, but at least you're able to get something on the backside for it. So we'll have to see if that trade sticks with Maxwell and Kiko Alonso or whatnot. But regardless, I mean, they're at least they're not sticking the new coach with at least they're making every effort to put Doug Peterson together a team that at least he thinks he can win some ball games with in 2016.
This has been a really entertaining, you know, what, 36 hours here in free agency so far to start things off. What else you got to add? What do we miss?
I think we got it, to be quite honest with you right now.
Both division, the top two division rivals have been weakened, maybe all three of them. I mean, Assembly's gone from Baltimore. Marvin Jones, who was their top priority along with Aloka, gone from the Bengals. They did re-sign Aloka. You know, Travis Benjamin gone from Cleveland. And the Steelers, obviously, at this point, the only guy of significance that they might lose here is Steve McClendon. So, you got to give the Steelers the big edge thus far in free agency. Now we'll see what the Bengals and Ravens do with their dollars, because obviously we don't expect the Steelers to do much. But in terms of keeping their own, at least a B+. And if they get Steve McClendon, I think Dave and I both give him an A+.
Oh yeah, they've done exactly what Colbert, you know, said they'd like to try to intend to do every offseason. They got even more done than what I thought they'd be able to do. We'll see what happens with Beecham for sure, and McLennan as well too. I mean, there's still a couple hours left, so we'll update everybody. Let's see what's your schedule the rest of the week. You're not going to be around on Friday, right?
We're going to have to play Friday by ear, but if I'm not doing it, Alex will do it, and then I will not be available Monday because I will be in the air.
Right, well, we're not expecting much more really to happen outside of those two players. I would expect the Steelers to be mighty quiet in the first day and a half, maybe a free agency, maybe even longer, you know, as far as that goes. But as always, we'll keep people updated on SteelersDepot.com, and Alex and I will be back on Friday to recap everything that's happened as well, too. You can follow me on Twitter, @SteelersDepot. Follow David on Twitter, @DavidMTodd. Follow the show, @TerriblePodcast. Email the show, TheTerriblePodcast@gmail.com. Make sure you're listening to David, who right now is kind of on hiatus. I think you're going down to Florida to watch some Pirates training.
But I will be doing the show tomorrow and Friday. The show will be live from Bradenton, and we will be discussing free agency as well. It won't just be Pirates. So join us, you know, 4 to 7 on Thursday and 4 to 6 on Friday.
All right, well, that sounds good. There's your details there. Make sure to check it out, listeners. That's all I got. David, have a good trip.
All right, as always, thanks for listening to the special edition of the Terrible Podcast with Dave and Dave.